Okay, let's be real. Has anyone actually not gritted their teeth thinking about cruise ship Wi-Fi?
Right.
You know what I'm talking about? It's like you're paying a ridiculous amount of money
Yeah.
for basically unusable speeds. You know, forget about like posting that sunset selfie in real time.
You're not live tweeting your cruise, that's for sure.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
But seriously, though, what if there was a way to just like bypass the system entirely?
That's the thing about cruise ships, though, right? They've got you kind of stuck.
Yeah.
It's a captive audience. You're out on the open seas. And for years, there was really no reason for them to up their game with the internet service.
Yeah, it's 2024. Come on. People want to be able to stream and work remotely or even just upload a quick vlog,
Yeah.
like from the middle of the ocean.
It's not that much to ask.
No, and so when a company like Carnival is charging like upwards of $300 for 15 days
Yeah.
of like unreliable internet,
Yeah.
it's no wonder people are looking for other options.
Exactly. And that's kind of where this recent experiment from YouTube caught my eye. You familiar with No Pants Profits?
Oh, yeah. Richard, he's great.
Yeah.
He's like that tech-savvy friend that we all need, always like tinkering and finding these creative solutions to problems.
Exactly. And he's always up for a challenge.
Yeah.
So naturally, he decided to put Starlink to the test on a recent Carnival
Oh,
cruise
really?
to see if it could actually like outperform the ship's Wi-Fi.
That's a real deep dive.
A deep dive indeed.
So let's dive into his setup then. He's got the Starlink Mini, right?
Right.
Which he mentions is $599 upfront, and then it's $250 a month for that ocean coverage plan.
Which, when you just hear that, sounds a little steep. Yeah.
But you can pause it
Okay.
when you're back on land. So it's not for everyone, obviously,
Right.
but it's definitely more flexible than your traditional cruise ship packages.
Yeah, it's true. And you're not locked into some crazy contract.
Right.
So for some folks, that might be worth it, especially if you're like Richard and you really rely on having a fast and reliable connection.
Yeah.
So he's on the Carnival Miracle, all set up, ready to see if this thing actually works.
So picture this. You're on the pool deck,
Okay.
like the middle of the ocean,
All right.
blue skies everywhere. And he's got the Starlink Mini set up. He's got this anchor battery pack to keep it powered.
Oh, so no fighting for those limited cabin outlets.
Exactly. He's off the grid.
I love it.
And this is where the whole aiming the dish north thing comes into play. Remember those satellites?
Right. They need to have a clear line of sight to the northern sky for
Okay.
the strongest signal. It's actually pretty cool how it all works.
Yeah, it says it's like he's hijacking the airwaves or something.
A little bit.
So the big question, did it actually work? What were the speed test results?
Okay, get this. Richard's Starlink Mini clocked in at 123 millimeters download speed and a 26 millimeters upload speed.
Whoa. Okay, that's impressive. What was the ship's Wi-Fi like
Yeah.
crawling at?
Premium Wi-Fi, my eye. They could only manage 3.75 millipedes down and 3.83 millipedes up.
Ouch, talk about a digital
I
smackdown.
know, right?
It's like he's beaming data from space and everyone else is stuck in the internet slow lane. But here's the thing, how well does it work when you're not just lounging by the pool? What about inside the cabins where most people probably want to use it?
Yeah, that's the real test, isn't it? Because who wants to be stuck out by the pool?
Right.
Just to get a decent internet connection. Did Richard mention anything about how well Starlink performed inside the cabins?
He did. And this is where it gets interesting. He said it was a little hit or miss.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because remember, that dish needs a clear line of sight to those satellites in the north.
Right, and depending on where your cabin is located in the layout, that could be tricky.
Exactly. Imagine trying to get a signal through walls and ceilings all while the ship is moving.
Oh man, talk about a challenge.
It's like a puzzle just to find the sweet spot.
So what happened? Was he able to get it working from his cabin at all?
He managed to get it working from his balcony.
But he said it took a bit of maneuvering to find that right spot. And even then, it wasn't quite as stable as it was out on the open deck.
Right, makes sense, I guess.
Yeah.
So, was it still faster than the ship's Wi-Fi, though, even with those obstacles?
Oh, absolutely. Even with a wall and the way he was still pulling down close to 100 millipedes.
Wow. That's still incredibly fast compared to that measly 3.75 the ship was offering. It's like the difference between a speedboat and a rowboat.
It really is. It highlights the huge gap between what's possible with today's technology and what these cruise lines are currently offering.
Exactly. And it makes you wonder, like, what's the holdup? Why aren't they upgrading their systems? People are used to having fast, reliable internet everywhere they go now.
It's true. There's a real disconnect there between passenger expectations and the current reality on a lot of these ships.
For sure. And Richard's experiment has definitely got people talking about this very issue. But it wasn't all smooth sailing for our internet hero, was it?
Not exactly.
Yeah, what happened? Did he get a knock on the door from the Carnival police or something?
Pretty much. He got a visit from security.
No way.
Yeah, can you imagine that you're trying to enjoy your morning coffee, breathtaking ocean sunrise, and somebody's knocking on your door telling you your internet setup is causing a stir?
Oh, man. I bet those little croissants they leave at your door didn't taste as good after that.
Probably not. Turns out the hotel director wanted to have a little chat with Richard about his unauthorized satellite dish.
Okay, so things were escalating a little bit. But it's just Wi-Fi, right? Were they worried about it interfering with the ship's systems or something?
That's the thing. It wasn't even about technical interference. It all boiled down to business.
Ah, so they just didn't like that he was messing with their little internet empire.
Pretty much. Remember how we were talking about cruise lines having a captive audience when it comes to internet access?
Right. They make a good chunk of change from those onboard Wi-Fi packages.
Exactly. And I guess Richard and his Starlink were cramping their style.
Yeah, but still confiscating his device. That seems a little extreme for some rogue Wi-Fi, don't you think?
It does seem a bit heavy-handed. And get this. It wasn't even just some crew member making a judgment call. This came straight from the top. Carnival CIO Sean Kenny issued the order himself.
Wow, so they were not messing around. What did they say when they took it away? Did they give Richard any grief?
Richard actually said the crew seemed kind of apologetic about the whole thing, like they were just caught in the middle between following corporate policy and trying to keep their passengers happy.
Yeah, it's that classic customer service dilemma, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You've got the folks on the ground trying to make everyone's vacation enjoyable, and then you got the higher-ups worry about the bottom line, even if it means making a few enemies along the way.
Exactly. And it really makes you wonder, as more and more people expect reliable, affordable internet access everywhere they go, are we going to see more situations like this?
It's true. It's not just about posting vacation photos anymore. It's about staying connected with family, maybe even doing some work or accessing important services while you're traveling. What happens when your only option is slow, expensive, and restricted? It just doesn't cut it anymore.
Absolutely. It'll be interesting to see how these different industries, airlines, hotels, even cruise lines, adapt to these changing expectations. Will they embrace new technologies and offer more flexible solutions, or are we going to see more of these customer versus corporation showdowns?
Right. It's definitely something to think about the next time you're planning a trip. Maybe pack a travel router along with your swimsuit and sunscreen, just in case. But that's all the time we have for today's deep dive. If you've got any thoughts on the future of Wi-Fi at sea or any other travel tech dilemmas, we'd love to hear from you. Leave us a comment and tell us about your experiences. And until next time, happy browsing.